from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I feel like Guy Fieri in here. I'm not lying to you guys. Chef Tom just brought basically a smash burger over.
Oh my goodness, is that good?
And truffle fries. And literally, I am telling him, I'm like, the meat with the bread and the sweet pickles, it's the combination. I feel like Guy Fieri. This guy is throwing down.
Just put a photo up at Mike Bell, ATL of the Spread, Black and Blue Burger, and quesadillas. I mean, it reminds me of like the old Rio Grande and Buckhead. Anyway, there's a million things they keep bringing to us. It's all part of the some of the best food on the island. Some folks are saying up here at Lakelander Islands, we're at Game Changer. Gazillion video games, over 50 video games, and we got the virtual sports suites. We're here for the axe throwing, Team Bell and Team Dukes. And so far, I don't know who's making the axe stick on the wall. So far, the only guy who's been doing any level of degree of competency has been Dylan from Team Dukes. So we'll see if that carries on as they're actually in live competition right now.
Dylan, I told you guys don't know what you're talking about. Hopefully they're able to rack up some points. They're having a lot of fun. I know they're videoing it for the website and all that stuff. But summer games are on, and this is leg one of basically 3 days of fun for us over the next 3 days. All right, Mike, we got to talk some college football. Bill Bender, Sporting News, senior college football writer, is here. Let's do it.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Well, Bill, a lot's going on in college football, and we just want to start with something we just played for our audience, which was Mike Gundy talking about not suspending Ollie Gordon, his running back, and I just felt like he handled that wrong. I think he's apologized since, but, you know, this is what Media Days is about, right? You have a coach or two, somebody says something silly or tries to come out and defend a situation like this. The Big 12 has changed. We know the SEC has changed, which we'll talk about with Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference. But didn't Mike Gundy go about this the wrong way?
Yeah, I mean, especially with a coach of his experience, don't overcomplicate it, right? Probably say less. In that situation, less is more. You say, you know, we're going to let the legal process play out, and Ollie's sorry for what he did, and we've talked about it, and it's a mistake, instead of launching into, I guess, what would be called like a quasi-defense. You know, and I think what he was trying to say, none of us are perfect, but, you know, for me personally in that situation, I just know man, if I get pulled over, it's a career ender. So I've always got to be careful with that.
And that's the thing, Bill. We were joking around earlier, not joking around about what the circumstances, but it was almost like it sounded like something that Barry Switzer would have said in 1985. and nobody in the media room would have batted an eye. But obviously in 2024, you know, you handle these, especially what we have to deal with in Georgia. Just had a player, by the way, Trevor Etienne, is not going to have to deal with a DUI charge. He's found innocent here in Atlanta, or here in Athens, I should say. Start with Georgia, and we'll work our way around if that's okay. You feel that Georgia has got a great offense, but the defense is a question. What do you think of when you think of the Dogs in a national championship?
Well, I mean, that's all. If we go by the EA video game rankings, you've got four players in the top 25, including a couple guys on that defense. I think their depth and talent and you know, there are some questions. I think the big one for me is who steps up with Bowers and McConkey gone to the NFL. But, the, you know, the talent level's there. A lot of these preseason polls, ours included, have Georgia and Ohio State 1 and 2. I'm a little surprised Ohio State isn't 1 in at least a couple of them. But those are the two most talented rosters, in my opinion.
Bill, would you call Alabama a wild card simply because we don't know what this may look like early on under the tutelage of Kalen DeBoer? I'm not saying he's not a great coach. I think he has shown he can be a great coach. But early on in the season, I'm looking at Milroe and I'm thinking, what's he going to do and how they're going to play? And what's your take on Alabama right now?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a boomerang effect for me. When Saban retired and all those guys transferred, you thought, okay, they're going to take a big step back. And now you kind of come around to, well, Milroe's back, and he was very efficient in that offense. Kalen DeBoer did a really good job with Michael Penix. They're going to have talent all over the field. And, yeah, they're a wild card in terms of I don't think too many people are going to pick them to win the SEC or win 6 national championships in the next 15 years. But I do think they'll be in the playoffs. And they're going to be a factor in this SEC race, especially when you look at the schedules that Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and Ole Miss, I guess we could talk about them too. Ole Miss has got the easiest schedule of those 4 teams that are being projected to be in the top 10.
I know that Lane Kiffin relies heavily on the transfer portal. Mike Norvell does as well. He's turned over nearly 2/3 of his roster. Is it just going to be the way college football is until we ever get some kind of guardrails up? Or do you think these business models are sustainable for teams to keep doing that, turning it over?
It's just risky. It's risky business. I mean, if you can, for every success story, TCU and Michigan State, remember how quickly Mel Tucker flipped Michigan State's roster in 1 year? Kenneth Walker took him to a Peach Bowl, and then you miss on the next one. I think it has to be a healthy mix. And, you know, one program, I don't know if they'll do it as well now, but I'll use an example. I think Michigan does it as well as anybody. They recruit, but maybe not at the top 5 level, and they fill in from the transfer portal at a pretty high level. They get guys they need. I think they've been one of the models for how I would do it, if that makes sense.
It does. Bill Bender, Sporting News senior college football writer, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about college football. What's the pressure? Speaking of Ohio State, what's the pressure on Ryan Day? Because his team is loaded.
Oh, I mean, it's huge. As you guys know, I live in Central Ohio, and
yep.
It's weird to say, you know, it's not national championship or bust, but it is beat Michigan or bust. Because I think the toxic levels, if that doesn't happen, are going to get so overwhelming here. You hear his name mentioned in the same sentence as John Cooper, when I don't think that's fair, by the way, because I think Ryan Day's had an incredible run of success. You know, you saw him against Georgia a few years ago. They were a couple plays away, winning the game. So the talent's there. But I definitely think Michigan, when you consider they haven't lost 3 in a row to Michigan since 1995 to 1997. I was in high school then. I remember some of my buddies being very disconcerted then, and they're probably about the same right now.
Yeah, it's got to be Ryan Day's. I mean, I know we see it from, like, down here in Atlanta and say, like, he's got the skills, he's got the folks, the coaching staff, the brain power, adding. By the way, is Chip Kelly going to reinvent Ohio State football?
I think he's going to change some things. That's a great point. I've said all along, when you have Chip Kelly, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss, and you guys are familiar with him. He's really good. And then you throw Will Howard on top of it, somebody that had 90 rushing attempts last season. Yeah, I think that's what they need to do, is go back to a run the ball 60% of the time. And you've seen this run-pass ratio drift the other way over the last 3 years. And maybe try to, I don't want to say mirror what Michigan does, but kind of, that's what's beat them. I mean, we've watched the games the last 3 years, right? Michigan's pushed them around a little bit.
Yeah, Michigan was more physical, which there's no doubt, and that's the part where you just don't expect that with Ohio State. Hey, let's talk about Texas and OU coming into the SEC. A lot of people are saying Texas may be the second-best team behind Georgia. Georgia has to go to Austin early in the season, and they may play each other again for the SEC championship game. Tell me what you think about those two teams coming into the SEC, Oklahoma with Venables and obviously Sark with the Longhorns.
Well, Oklahoma's got a tough schedule, really tough schedule coming in. And you know, that's a proud program. I think they're super excited about it because maybe not so much for 1 year, but the recruiting will improve because they'll have an SEC patch on. It's huge. Texas right now, a little more ready. By the way, I wish I could get as much money as Arch Manning got for going on to the video game. That would have been a nice little payday. I do think their roster is very deep, and they lost some guys on the interior line, but they're ready. They have the best quarterback room in the country. I think those Texas-Georgia games are going to – there might be one, there might be two. No, there could be three. That has the potential to be the best New Age rivalry in the conference over the next – if it sticks over the next couple of years. Am I reaching there? Because I know how many rivals Georgia has.
Right.
I just said I see some potential there with those two schools and where they're at right now.
Yeah. Hey, man, we're talking some college football with Bill Bender, guys, Sporting News senior college football writer. Oregon coming into the Big Ten. We're talking so much about the job Dan Lanning's done recruiting. Who's the quarterback from Oklahoma?
Dillon.
Dillon, yeah, Gabriel Dillon. Or Dillon Gabriel. Scratch that, reverse it, Bill. Do you believe that they're going to have an impact in the Big Ten in the first year? I know that we've talked so much about Georgia and Texas and the schedules, but it seems like when Oregon plays Ohio State, that's going to be a clash of titans.
Huge. They play October 12th in Austin Stadium. Big spot for Oregon. And Oregon, Dan Lanning's done a fantastic job there. He's a young coach, as you guys know, has built a lot of momentum on the recruiting trail this summer. Dillon Gabriel's played a lot of football and should be able to run that offense the way Bo Nix did. They're going to score a lot of points. They got Evan Stewart from Texas A&M, too. That was another transfer I really liked. And in the trenches, they've shown they can play. So Michigan's going to have a little bit of a transition with Sherrone Moore. If I was picking one team right now to challenge Ohio State, it would probably be Oregon, with the understanding that I still think Michigan and Penn State will be in that conversation.
Yeah, I'll say this. Lanning has gone out there and built that team as an SEC squad. They're big.
Mm-hmm. Not finesse anymore.
They're physical. Right. He's gone out and recruited like they did at Georgia, and even when he was with Saban at Alabama, I think you're on to something when you talk about – I don't think it'll be a surprise for people who know Oregon football, but it may be in the Big Ten when they get a chance to see that Oregon team. Tell me about USC, and we just found this out too, by the way. You're just joining us. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live up here at Lake Lanier Islands. Again, summer games going on, guys, at Game Changer. But we just found out Georgia and UCLA canceled their home-and-home.
Right.
Because, again, Georgia's like, hey, we're in the SEC now. We're going to be fine. UCLA's got to find another opponent, and Georgia has already done that. But talk to me about USC, because Lincoln Riley gets a lot of love. He's one of the highest-paid coaches in college football.
Got to be a hot seat at some point.
Well, yeah, what's going on there?
They're going to score a ton of points still with Miller Moss, some of the guys they have at receiver. I'm interested to see how that style mashes into, you know, when they go play in Iowa or they go play Wisconsin and what that looks like. They need to play better defense. There's just no way to escape that. They're never going to take a next step until they can get a couple stops on that side of the ball. You haven't been able to trust their defense for the last 2 years, and that was when they had Caleb Williams under center. I think D'Anton Lynn, the UCLA defensive coordinator that they hired last offseason, should help with that. But another school that I think is going to benefit from playing on this side of the country more often because they'll be able to recruit some kids there. But you can't, as you guys know, you know this more than anything, being in the SEC, you have to have it on both sides of the ball.
That you do. And there are a lot of teams that look really good right now on paper. We're going to find out who's the real deal. And, Bill, we know you'll be covering it. Check him out, guys. Sporting News senior college football writer. Great stuff, man. We look forward to seeing you and talking with you more throughout the course of the season.
Time, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Take care.
Thanks, Bill. And by the way, yeah, the home and home of UCLA goes out the window. A lot of Georgia fans are thinking about that. Marshall coming to Sanford Stadium in 2025, as Carl said. Yeah, because of the expanded SEC, but still not playing 9 conference games, Carl.
They will. They've got to get there. And when they do, they're going to make a lot of money.
You can't take your fans out to California for some sun and fun. Come on. And smoke those turds. Come on.
Hey, man, we've got a lot more to get to. DeJounte Murray speaking about his experience with the Hawks, talking about what he wants to do in New Orleans. But we think he threw a little shade.
Oh.
Guy talks on the way as well, and it sounds like somebody's winning this competition. Duke's team. We'll tell you about it coming up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, so it seems like, and I don't want to jump the gun here, but it seems like Team Dukes is going to win today. Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard a little birdie say it, Mike.
Yeah, just like your golf game. It says not such chirping.
Well, the golf game's good, though.
Yeah. Guess what, pal? It's not a one-day event. There's 3 more events, including pickleball. And we're going to be back at Margaritaville for some cornhole.
You're right.
So you can pop off, cornhole boy. Yeah. Because right now, I will say this. Dylan has been an axe master. Team Dylon for Team Carl Dukes has been killing it with the axe. I was worried about Garrett. They do have a big axe and a little axe, and I think either one was too much for Garrett. So I don't know if Team Bell's even got one on the board yet. Dylan's got like 2 bullseyes, it looks like.
Well, I went over there, and Dylan, all I saw was, and I didn't want to see any more, he threw it with 2 hands behind his right. head. He hits the bullseye. He turns around. He goes, this is easy. I walked away.
He literally looks like Jason Momoa on that meme we talked about yesterday. Jason Momoa takes a big sip of Guinness, whoosh, and center cuts it with the axe. Anyway, we'll be talking about the results here coming up as part of Guy Talk. Also, guys, big developing story over in Germany with England and the Netherlands, who are playing right now, and it looks like it's coming out of, like everything else in this world, Carl, penalty kicks later. Stay tuned.
All right, guys. Landry Fields, general manager of our Atlanta Hawks, spoke today. Why? Because the Hawks are getting ready for Summer League. That's going to happen in Vegas. Their first game's on Friday, just so you know. We'll keep you updated because I think a lot of you want to see, obviously, our first-round pick, but you also want to see some of the other guys that make up this team and you know, who might have a shot. Mike, Landry Fields said a couple of things today. One, he talked about Dyson Daniels, the kid we got in return for the DeJounte pick. And I want you to hear what he said there. But then he talked about moving on from DeJounte Murray and then talked about doesn't see a trade for DJ as things went. You know, he was talking about the idea of were they both going to be try to move both of these guys and Trey and DJ. How did this all work out? So this is Landry Fields first and foremost. Dyson Daniels comes in the trade for DJ. Here's what he said about him.
His defensive versatility is something that really stands out. His shooting has gotten better. It's something that we think we can get an uptick in him as time goes on with his development. So if we're able to help him stay the course defensively and then give him some offensive adjustments there, turns into a real player.
All right, we know we're going to get technically, like, no lie told to say we're getting better on defense because this guy does play defense. Doesn't play all the minutes just yet. He's still an evolving piece. He's just a first-round pick from a couple years ago. I mean, what's a real expectation for this guy? You and I went back and looked at the 21 season, the 2021. Solomon Hill was only on the court for 20 minutes a game. So, I mean, speaking of a guy that, you know, didn't score any points, was kind of there for some toughness.
Where is this guy going to be? But where is the scoring coming from?
We don't have any scoring.
Where is the scoring coming from? Here's what I would tell you about Dyson Daniels, and I hope I'm wrong. He can't score.
No, he doesn't. That's not what he does.
Okay? So if you're telling me, Mike, he's on the floor, guess what that's called in the NBA? A defensive, an offensive liability. He's a guy
you don't pay attention to.
No.
You double tray again.
Correct. You're gonna say that he's D'ing up the team, the opposing team's best player. Okay, so be it. 6'7", he's long. Right. Great. Guess what? When we go down on the other end, he's in the corner, and they're going, go ahead and shoot it.
Ball. Ball.
That's where I'm at with Dan. Now, I hope that Landry's right when he says Daniels will get better. He'll develop. But again, this guy was a top pick. He's been in the league 3 years, and we're talking about 6 points a game.
He doesn't score. He does not score. We're trying to get some defense, guys. We got to, at least one of our listeners brought this up earlier. Either you blow the whole thing up, or you spend your way out of it and hope you compete immediately by going after some impact players. They did neither. You know, we're grinding. We're just grinding. We're grinding because, you know, Trey still has no help. Reece Hoshea is going to take a while to develop because you just said it. You're coming down the floor. Do you trust the 19-year-old kid to be able to get to the basket in the NBA in his first year?
Well, listen, if Zachary can give us 12 a game, that's a really good rookie season.
Right.
If he's giving us 15 or 18, he's a baller. If he's coming in and gives us 25, Mike, he's the next big thing in basketball.
Well, if he gives you 25, you've exceeded what you missed now with DeJounte Murray being a Pelican. But even with DeJounte going for 22, you're still a play-in team in the 10th seed. So, look, we are where we are. You're going to hear DeJounte basically, and you'll hear the soundbite coming up in the next hour, basically saying that everything.
We've got to spend some time on this.
Everything Nate said, everything that you and I have said, everything that Hawks fans who know basketball have said, this team doesn't play defense. They're not committed to defense. And that starts with your captain. Is he my captain? Well, Trey is your most important player.
He is.
You know, but he doesn't play defense. We're not asking him to be the glove. We've talked about this a million times, but at least make an effort. But and you'll hear what DeJounte had to say. But all Landry Fields is spinning this. Right now, you brought up a great point. They got to break some guys off this roster.
You got five centers.
Well, look, can we just call a spade a spade? Some of these guys from the Pelicans are never going to play here. You know, Larry Nance Jr. might never even suit up for this team.
I just don't see where he fits
Cody Zeller's never going to play for this team.
I don't see where he fits in.
You're taking those guys over Bruno? I'd rather see Bruno Fernando than those guys.
Here's the other part of this. Forget about taking him over. Clint makes more money. Bruno's got a guaranteed deal to be here. Like, when you start talking, Muhammad Gay, I think, is better than both of those
guys. You didn't trade Capella. You didn't trade Okongwu. So, at the end of the day, the DeJounte trade, and the other thing is the unprotected pick with the Lakers could be a big giant nothing. So, you know, when we talk about two picks, it's more like 1.5 picks. But you've got, at the end of the day, the same thing you got when you got John Collins off the books. It's a salary dump. And the only thing you could even appreciate, maybe, is Dyson Daniels if he plays defense the way you hope he can.
All right.
There's not much there.
This is Landry Fields, again, our general manager for the Hawks, talking about tough move to trade DJ, but they had to do it.
You know, new context with, like, a cap environment and how you're able to build out the team, you know, looking at, you know, what assets you have for the future. It's a challenge, and, you know, good players like DeJounte don't come around very often, especially available at the time that he was. So, you know, it was our evaluation, and, you know, I think it was a great collaborative effort for all parties involved, and that's where we landed.
No, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. Stop playing with our emotions.
Right.
That was a bad deal that didn't work out the way it should have. And guess what? We had to make a trade to try to get right.
Yes.
Tell us what that was.
It was a mistake. It was a disaster. The team did not improve. The team, in fact, went backwards. And then you trade a guy for three picks, you do nothing, and then you trade him for two picks. You trade for the guy to give three to San Antonio. We've already talked about what we got back, which, you know, unless Dyson Daniels becomes one of the great all-defensive team players now and also stays on the floor. Look, this team, that's what I said to start the conversation. Either blow it up or get rested to spend some freaking money and try to salvage a run through the playoffs. What part of that is wrong? Because where you are right now, so what am I going to do, another year of this? And then what? But then that's the year you're really going to get into it? And you're going to, meantime, Carl, you're going to encourage free agents to come here to Atlanta to do what? To not be in the playoffs?
Yeah. All right. One other thing. Coming up in Guy Talk also, we'll get the guys on who competed today.
My team is in unison. They have the uniforms on. It's amazing. But we'll get to that in Guy Talk. Mike, one more thing from Landry Fields. Why did they trade DJ? Why was it DJ over Trey?
We know why they traded.
Well, so let's hear what he said.
Just evaluating where we're at. It was a hard decision. It was challenging. We knew that where we ultimately want to be was going to require some challenging decisions, you know, just not being at that point currently where we felt like we can continue on with what we have. So wanted to reshape some things, and you know, this was an unfortunate part of the business. DeJounte is a fantastic player, but we're excited for him and his journey on in New Orleans, but we're also very excited about, you know, the guys that we got back. Got a few assets with it too, which are going to be helpful for us to continue to build. So
that's one way to spend it, man. This guy should run for Congress, man. I'll tell you what. Look, it didn't work. And either you stayed with Trey or you stayed with DeJounte. You stay with Trey, the fans stay with you. If you had traded Trey, you'd have lost a lot of your fan base. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. All right, 404-726-0929. You guys can let us know how you feel. 404-726-0929.
And by the way,
tell us how you think.
We said this earlier. I mean, I just want to hear something which gives me a reason to believe in this team, just not spinning corporate speak, which is all he really does, you know. And look, it's not all his fault, because he's not given the tools to go get into the luxury tax. I know we've talked about the aprons. He can't go above a certain spot. They rolled the dice with DeJounte. Travis Schlenk thought it was a big mistake, because
yep. It was.
Because Travis Schlenk has been around this game and knows more than Landry Fields has yet to attain at this level as a general manager. Schlenk was more experienced. That's why he thought you were going to get fleeced by San Antonio. In their big move since Landry Fields has come here, you've moved John Collins into DeJounte and got nothing back for it.
Did you say
nothing?
It's Dukes and Bell. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. I see a lot of long faces on Team Bell. I'm very disgusted with my squad. Who was the weakest link? Was it Garrett the weakest? Really, Garrett was the weakest link. You know, I picked the plucky white guy, the coach's son, and apparently it's backfired on me. We'll get into that, Carl. And usually in Europe, historically speaking, it's the Germans marching through Holland and bombing England. Today, it was the Dutch marching through Germany and taking on bombed English.
Wow.
It's coming up next.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the play is played.
Well, things have played out here in day one of our summer games. Mike, before you get some of the things you're going to get to in Guy Talk, I would just like to welcome Team Dukes to the table here at Game Changer. And that is, of course, Abe. And that is, of course, Dylon.
Yes, sir.
Dylan and Abe.
Come on. Was there ever a doubt?
Well, Dylan
was there ever a doubt?
It did. Dylan did amaze people when he had a bullseye in a warm-up round. I knew Team Dukes had an advantage. Team Bell was in trouble. So what was the final? First off, what was the score in the axe throwing competition here at Game Changer at Lake Lanier Islands?
The final score as a team, Team Dukes, 39.
Yes, sir.
Team Bell, 21.
Is that bad?
Wow. That's a beatdown.
Is that bad in axe throwing? Is this like they score
it's
like
not,
touchdowns?
It's not golf. You don't want the low score.
You know what? That's like Georgia taking on TCU. I mean, this is a beatdown. My goodness.
By the way, real quick, because to the victors go the spoils and the mic time. What was the weakest link on my squad? Was it Garrett? Was
yes.
Garrett?
Yeah, definitely.
You
Garrett.
Sound like you want to blame Garrett.
I do want to blame Garrett. Like, some coaches. Remember when Georgia Tech beat Oklahoma State and the Oklahoma State coach was like picking on everybody, throwing his own guys under the bus in the Final Four? That's where I am right now. So it was Garrett like Ollie and Hoosiers?
Kind of.
Oh, man.
No, you know what? He's not, because Ollie hit those free throws at the end.
That's true. So now, is it true that he nearly hit the TV screen with an axe?
Nearly?
Yeah, I think he did. I don't think
we need a qualifier there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man. Well, there's video evidence.
Let's explain. They needed him to go for the gusto at the end. He had to hit a bullseye, which is on the – it's not in the middle. It's up top, right?
They
it's
have
like the
ski-ball
type of right. angles. Yeah.
They
like
call it a kill shot.
The itty-bitty 10 shot.
It's the kill shot.
It's the kill shot. Right.
And
he almost killed the screen is well, what he yeah. almost killed.
And so he attempted to do that and missed it. But here's the deal, guys. There is a lot more competition ahead. Mike said it. We've got two more days of competition.
All right.
We don't know which way this thing's going
to
go.
Well, I'm going to change my rotation. Like all good coaches, you're going to have to move some guys out of the roster. We're going to bring in some different faces.
I got to
get
the bullpen.
I got to go to the bullpen and get Day-Day. I got to get Day-Day in here. We're going to probably sit Garrett. I got to reevaluate this. Is there any shining spot? Was there any shining spot for the team, Bell?
Bo was outstanding.
Yeah, Bo was
I knew.
Good.
See, I knew he'd be a rock star.
Bo had some trouble early on, but midway through, really ramped it up, turned it on. He hit four on four straight throws, had an opportunity
wow.
to set the high mark for the day. It didn't quite stick. So
what were you doing?
It.
Were you hunting wild pig like you were back home? What's going on?
Right. Yeah.
Come over here.
Bo, for those who don't know, Bo is part Cherokee. His family, I think the great-great-grandfather was dances with hatchets. So he should have had a chance to make this thing happen.
And you guys get a chance to hear Bo, obviously. He produces the Midday Guys with Andy and Randy. But go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you saying about those four throws?
Well, so I had to find – it only took me 15 throws to find my groove. Then I found it. It just didn't stick on the last one. I could have got the
okay.
Could have brought us home, Mike, but it didn't stick. I think the piece of wood that Garrett – wedged out of there is where my accent was.
I would just like to point out one thing, though. The man that was the most underrated coming into today, the man who was told he cut steak with a butter knife.
Randy McMichael's words, not mine.
The man who nobody really believed in coming into this afternoon.
Why are you talking in third person?
Was the best one all day, Carl. Yeah.
Why are you talking
no,
in third
no,
person?
No, Abe, I was the best all day because
Abe,
I had
please,
20.
Abe,
I had,
you can't say you were good at practice.
I had 27 in the warm-up, and then I put up 19 in
we talking about practice?
Actual game.
We talking about practice.
I mean, everybody was amazed,
talking about practice?
And I still and let's not forget, my first shot of the actual game, bullseye. I'm just gonna put that out there.
I mean,
too.
Dylan was really good at this. Dylan was really good at this, and we thought he'd be terrible at this. And Dylan was really awesome.
I told them they didn't know about
you.
It's
the best two out of three. We go tomorrow to a pickle. Is it social?
Pickle and social.
Pickleball social over there in Buford in Gwinnett. So we'll be there for round two. There'll be some big giant board games on like a giant scale that we'll be doing.
It's gonna be a lot of fun,
man.
Connect Four is one of them.
Connect Four is so much fun.
Day-Day and I are going to bring the heat tomorrow. We had like nine kids in between us.
Right? Oh.
And nobody else that we're playing has any kids.
Well, right.
I said Day-Day was the Nick Cannon of the radio. he's ready
on,
to go tomorrow, man.
We, dude, seriously, Bo. And Team Dukes,
hey,
guys.
You left everything out there. Garrett, you're dead to me. All right, guys.
Hey, Dylon, thank you, guys.
Wow.
Garrett, I don't have anything to
round
say about
one,
you.
Round one, Team Dukes. Oh, man, it hurts. And these guys, you know, all our guys at our radio station are alpha males. They wouldn't be sports fans and work at a sports station. These guys take this very seriously.
Seriously, I thought Dylan was about to take his shirt off right there.
I mean, Dylan and Bo may go. I mean, they make him strap in a parking lot. He's swinging on cuz.
Great stuff,
hey,
man.
Some guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale. Footage emerging from Dortmund over there in Germany, where the Euro 2024 is going right now. And England, Mike Conti, what's the score with England and Netherlands right now? Where are we holding? Still 1-1. Could go to penalties. Well, there is a giant brawl. At least five people sustaining minor injuries.
On the field?
The Dutch. No, in the streets of Dortmund, in the bar area. The Dutch fans, and I've seen these guys up close at Formula One, and this could be some of the stuff we're going to see. Now, not the violence aspect, but they just go bananas. They all wear orange and go nuts. But they basically took over a bar with some English fans, and next thing you know, they're throwing English guys around like cordwood.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's on. So, yeah, footage is out there. Men in orange shirts can be seen hurling fists, chairs, even a sign that was believed to be from England fans in a video that went just bananas. The place is called Sausalito's Restaurant on Kloppenstrafe in Dortmund. One man was yanked back repeatedly by his t-shirt, punches the throw, and the Dutch fans are just going after the English. Normally, it's the English soccer hooligans. Famously, in the 1990 World Cup in Italy, they were so afraid of the English soccer fans, they put them in Sicily, which is, like to most Italians, is the backwater of Italy, because they figure there's no damage they could do to Sicily that hasn't already happened.
Done, yeah.
But in this case, the Dutch were beaten up on the Brits. Now we're waiting to see if the English can close them out.
Wow.
May go to penalties like all the other major soccer matches we've been watching the last 2 weeks. It has been, I'll tell you what, the penalty kicks, high drama.
Entertaining. And I saw a tweet from Patrick Mahomes. Was like, look, I know I'm late to the party.
Right.
But, man, this is making me become even more of a soccer fan watching what's going on in the European Championship. I'm with him. Like, and Mike, we said this. This is why Copa America was so big for us.
Right.
Right?
And we blew it.
So now we're watching these other matches, but you see the talent level. You see what's going on.
Right. But you see Canada with an American coach. Canada, they were playing chippy. They were playing with edge. They weren't giving Argentina any breaks. And Argentina still only won 2-0.
That's right.
But, I mean, Canada's got nothing to be ashamed about. They obviously exceeded all expectations. Meanwhile, U.S. men's soccer is slow rolling this decision on Berhalter.
I thought it was supposed to happen already.
Well, everybody's saying nothing's going to happen.
They're going to stay the course.
I bet you dollars to donuts they do, because there's a big power struggle, according to the articles that I've read, inside U.S. soccer. Some want to throw tons of money at Jurgen Klopp, the legendary Liverpool coach. Some people are saying, well, no, because you can't pay the men's coach more than the women's. And the men's are like, screw that noise.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Come on.
There's no Title IX here. We're trying to win some championships. So either way, it's disarray for the U.S. men's national team. Well, a lot of people want Berhalter gone. Remember, he was gone. They brought him back. So you'd have to admit, if you run U.S. soccer, you screwed up twice.
Yeah, you. This is a bad mistake. But I will say this, Mike. The best man for the job, and again, I don't care who that looks like, whatever it's going to come, where he comes from, I just feel like we got to do something. But, yes, I'm loving what I'm watching.
And for guys who don't follow soccer, I know not our entire audience does, basically 23, we exceeded expectations. We beat up on our arch rival, Mexico. Things are looking good. And then everything goes backwards this year in the Copa America. We totally basically just threw out all the goodwill from last season and all this talk of the great generation. These guys are good. Pulisic starts, some start. Most guys ride the pine in Europe. We need guys who play all the time. I think that's something we've learned. Hey, man, speaking of soccer, hey, Ricky Rosé, I know you got beat up in Vancouver by some fans of Drake. Argentina's got Ricky Ross's back.
All right.
Argentina took a shot at Drake. If you didn't hear about this, he loves to put some big money on his favorite teams. He dropped $300,000 that Canada could beat Argentina. He stood to win over $2.2 million.
Woo.
Well, they didn't. And then the Argentine national official social media page on Twitter says, not like us. Not with us. And for those not familiar, this is the diss track from Kendrick Lamar. Obviously criticizing Drake.
A
lot of folks, has been streamed 500 million times on Spotify. The music video sold up, has been viewed more than 115 million times. Argentina looking to win now. They'll take the winner of Uruguay and Colombia in Sunday's final. Those guys are playing today. But how funny is that? Argentina claps back.
No, it's great. You talk about being, pop culture, being in the moment. Like, they hit that out of the park.
Right. Hey, man, a lot of folks today, and I brought this up real quick while we're talking soccer and trying to win fans over. Jason Longstreet got on the conversation. There's a viral video of one of the Argentine players taking a ridiculous dive and then writhing in pain. He wasn't even touched. Do you think, real quick, hockey, you got six guys on the ice for each team, five skaters and a goal in each team.
Right.
You got four guys on the ice officiating. You got two refs and two linesmen. The NFL, you've got a team of guys. Soccer, you got one man watching the action and two guys on the sideline who are basically just calling out on, offsides or onside. So a lot of folks are asking me, and I put it out there today, why doesn't FIFA at some point, especially, and now I know they've got the video VAR, video assist, but they don't use it properly. Having two officials, a secondary official, just basically seems like common sense to be able to follow all the action. And know when somebody's diving. And then say, look, that's a nonsense fact. You'll get a yellow card for taking a dive. And let's get on with our lives.
You need more officials on the field, on the pitch. There's no debating it. And Mike, this is not about resources. They have them. They could easily do this. I don't even think this should be a conversation. But for whatever reason, here we are in 2024 still talking about how many guys are on the pitch and officiating these matches.
Hey, man, I brought this up the other day. A lot of folks agree that the All-Star Game, it's time we start a movement to get Major League Baseball players back in their home and away jerseys for the All-Star Game. This is the kaleidoscope of color that guys like you and me grew up with. These Nike uniforms are absolute trash. Further proof Nike has lost all, let's be honest, all, I guess, innovative ideas, unless you thought what you saw last night with the Diamondbacks was special. Those look like the worst jerseys I've ever seen. You ever seen those things? They were like a mustard, I don't even know what color yellow that is. Serpientes. Yes. Obviously, I understand you want to reach out to the Latin community for the snakes, the Diamondbacks. Those things look ridiculous.
I told you, I turned it on. I thought I wasn't watching the Braves. At first, I had to do a double take because I was like, I think this is the Braves. And then I'm like, that's the Braves, but who are they playing? Because I did not recognize
it. I mean, it looked like the Padres wore something similar to that in the late 60s, early 70s, but not that bad. Anyway, Braves win. We'll talk more about it with Grant McCauley coming up with the 5 Guy Talk. We're live here at Game Changer, Lake Lanier Islands. We got a dude over here drinking a Cobra. We know that guy.
Yes, we do.
One of our loyal listeners. He's one of our favorite Beaufortians. Come on down, guys. We're going to do round two tomorrow at Pickleball Social over in Beaufort. More competition for the summer games.
Not like us.
Not like us.
All right, coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. What did DJ say, and was he throwing shade at his former teammate? We'll do the investigating coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Dukes and Bell live at Game Changer.
game. It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
Well, things have played out here in day one of our summer games. Mike, before you get some of the things you're going to get to in Guy Talk, I would just like to welcome Team Dukes to the table here at Game Changer. And that is, of course, Abe. And that is, of course, Dylon.
Yes, sir.
Dylon and Abe.
Come on. Was there ever a doubt?
Well, Dylon
was there ever a doubt?
It did. Dylon did amaze people when he had a bullseye in a warm-up round. I knew a team. Team Dukes had an advantage. Team Bell was in trouble. So, what was the final? First off, what was the score in the axe throwing competition here at Game Changer at Lake Lanier Islands?
The final score as a team, Team Dukes, 39.
Yes, sir.
Team Bell, 21.
Is that bad?
Wow. Is that, that's a beatdown.
Is that bad in axe throwing? Is this like they score
it's
like
not,
touchdowns?
It's not golf. You don't want the low score.
You know what? That's like Georgia taking on TCU. I mean, this is a beatdown. My goodness.
By the way, real quick, because to the victors go the spoils and the mic time. What was the weakest link on my squad? Was it Garrett? Was
yes.
Garrett?
Yeah, definitely.
You
Garrett.
Sound like you want to blame Garrett.
I do want to blame Garrett. Like, some coaches. Remember when Georgia Tech beat Oklahoma State and the Oklahoma State coach was like picking on everybody, throwing his own guys under the bus in the Final Four? That's where I am right now. So it was Garrett like Ollie and Hoosiers?
Kinda.
Oh, man.
No, you know what? Oh, no, he's not because Ollie hit those free throws at the end.
That's true. That's true.
So now, is it true that he nearly hit the TV screen with an axe?
Nearly?
Yeah, I think he did.
I don't think we need a qualifier there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man.
Well, there's video evidence. Let's
explain. They needed him to go for the gusto at the end. He had to hit a bullseye, which is on the – it's not in the middle. It's up top, right?
They it's have like the ski-ball type of right. angles. Yeah.
They
like
call it a kill shot.
The itty-bitty 10 shot.
It's the kill shot.
It's the kill shot. Right.
And
he almost killed the screen is well, what he almost killed.
And so he attempted to do that and missed it. But here's the deal, guys. There is a lot more competition ahead. Mike said it. We've got two more days of competition.
All right.
We don't know which way this thing's going to go.
Well, I'm going to change my rotation. Like all good coaches, you're going to have to move some guys out of the roster. We're
going
to bring in some different faces. I got to go to the bullpen and get Day-Day. I got to get Day-Day in here. We're going to probably sit Garrett. I got to reevaluate this. Is there any shining spot? Was there any shining spot for the Team Bell?
Bo was outstanding.
Yeah, Bo was
I knew.
Good.
See, I knew he'd be a rock star.
Bo had some trouble early on, but midway through really ramped it up, turned it on. He hit four on four straight throws, had an opportunity to set the high mark for the day. It didn't quite stick. So
what were you doing? Were you hunting wild pig like you were back home? What's going on?
Right.
Yeah. Come over here.
Bo, for those who don't know, Bo is part Cherokee. His family, I think the great-great-grandfather was dances with hatchets. So he should have had a chance to make this thing happen.
And you guys get a chance to hear Bo, obviously. He produces the Midday Guys with Andy and Randy. But go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you saying about those four throws?
Well, so I had to find – it only took me 15 throws to find my groove. Then I found it. It just didn't stick on the last one. I could have got the could have brought us home, Mike, but it didn't stick. I think the piece of wood that Garrett wedged out of there is where my accident.
I would just like to point out one thing, though. The man that was the most underrated coming into today, the man who was told he cut steak with a butter knife.
Randy McMichael's words, not mine.
The man who nobody really believed in coming into this afternoon.
Why are you talking in third person?
Was the best one all day, Carl. Yeah.
Why are you talking
no,
in third
no,
person?
No, Abe, I was the best all day because
Abe,
I had
please,
20.
Abe,
I had,
you can't say you were good at practice.
I had 27 in the warm-up, and then I put up 19 in the
talking about practice?
Actual game.
We talking about practice.
I mean, everybody was amazed,
we talking about practice?
And I still and let's not forget, my first shot of the actual game, bullseye. Yeah. Put that out there
I mean,
too.
Dylon was really good at this. Dylon was really good at this, and we thought he'd be terrible at this, and Dylon was really awesome.
I told them they didn't know about
you.
It's
a best two out of three. We go tomorrow to a Pickle – is it Social? Pickle and Social. Pickleball Social over there in Buford in Gwinnett. So we'll be there for round two. There'll be some big, giant board games on, like, a giant scale that we'll be doing.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Man,
Connect 4 is one of them.
Connect 4 is so much fun.
Day-Day and I are going to bring the heat tomorrow. We have like 9 kids in between us.
Right? Oh.
And nobody else that we're playing has any kids.
Well, right.
I said Day-Day was the Nick Cannon of the radio. He's ready to go tomorrow, man.
Dude, seriously, Bo, and Team Dukes,
hey,
guys.
You left everything out there. Garrett, you're dead to me. All right, guys.
Dylon, thank you, guys.
Wow.
Garrett, so, out.
don't have anything to
round
say about
one,
you.
Team Dukes. Oh, man, it hurts. And these guys, you know, all our guys at our radio station are alpha males. They wouldn't be a sports fans and work in a sports station. These guys take this very seriously.
Seriously, I thought Dylan was about to take his shirt off right there.
Dylan and Bo may go. I mean, they make him a strap in a parking lot. He's swinging on cuz.
Great stuff,
hey,
man.
Some guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale. Footage emerging from Dortmund over there in Germany, where the Euro 2024 is going right now. And England, Mike Conti, what's the score with England and Netherlands right now? Where are we holding? Still 1-1. Could go to penalties. Well, there is a giant brawl. At least five people sustaining minor injuries.
On the field?
The Dutch. No, in the streets of Dortmund, in the bar area. The Dutch fans, and I've seen these guys up close at Formula One, and this could be some of the stuff we're going to see. Now, not the violence aspect, but they just go bananas. They all wear orange and go nuts. But they basically took over a bar with some English fans, and next thing you know, they're throwing English guys around like cordwood.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's on. So, yeah, footage is out there. Men in orange shirts can be seen hurling fists, chairs, even a sign that was believed to be from England fans in a video that went just bananas. The place is called Sausalito's Restaurant on Kloppenstrafe in Dortmund. One man was yanked back repeatedly by his t-shirt, punches the throw, and the Dutch fans are just going after the English. Normally, it's the English soccer hooligans. Famously, in the 1990 World Cup in Italy, they were so afraid of the English soccer fans, they put them in Sicily, which is, like to most Italians, is the backwater of Italy, because they figure there's no damage they could do to Sicily that hasn't already happened.
Done, yeah.
But in this case, the Dutch were beaten up on the Brits. Now we're waiting to see if the English can close them out.
Wow.
May go to penalties like all the other major soccer matches we've been watching the last 2 weeks. It has been, I'll tell you what, the penalty kicks, high drama.
Entertaining. And I saw a tweet from Patrick Mahomes. Was like, look, I know I'm late to the party.
Right.
But, man, this is making me become even more of a soccer fan watching what's going on in the European Championship. I'm with him. Like, and Mike, we said this. This is why Copa America was so big for us.
Right,
right?
And we blew it.
And we blew it. So now we're watching these other matches, but you see the talent level. You see what's going on.
Right. But you see Canada with an American coach. Canada, they were playing chippy. They were playing with edge. They weren't giving Argentina any breaks. And Argentina still only won 2-0.
That's right.
But, I mean, Canada's got nothing to be ashamed about. They obviously exceeded all expectations. Meanwhile, U.S. men's soccer is slow rolling this decision on Berhalter.
I thought it was supposed to happen already.
Well, everybody's saying nothing's going to happen.
They're going to stay the course.
I bet you dollars to donuts they do, because there's a big power struggle, according to the articles that I've read, inside U.S. soccer. Some want to throw tons of money at Jurgen Klopp, the legendary Liverpool coach. Some people are saying, well, no, because you can't pay the men's coach more than the women's. And the men's are like, screw that noise.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Come on.
There's no Title IX here. We're trying to win some championships. So either way, it's disarray for the U.S. men's national team. Well, a lot of people want Berhalter gone. Remember, he was gone. They brought him back. So you'd have to admit, if you run U.S. soccer, you screwed up twice.
Yeah, you. This was a bad mistake. But I will say this, Mike. The best man for the job, and again, I don't care who that looks like, whatever it's going to come, where he comes from, I just feel like we got to do something. But, yes, I'm loving what I'm watching.
And for guys who don't follow soccer, I know not our entire audience does, basically 23, we exceeded expectations. We beat up on our arch rival, Mexico. Things are looking good. And then everything goes backwards this year in the Copa America. We totally basically just threw out all the goodwill from last season and all this talk of the great generation. These guys are good. Pulisic starts, some start. Most guys ride the pine in Europe. We need guys who play all the time. I think that's something we've learned. Hey, man, speaking of soccer, hey, Ricky Rosé, I know you got beat up in Vancouver by some fans of Drake. Argentina's got Ricky Ross's back.
All right.
Argentina took a shot at Drake. If you didn't hear about this, he loves to put some big money on his favorite teams. He dropped $300,000 that Canada could beat Argentina. He stood to win over $2.2 million.
Ooh.
Well, they didn't. And then the Argentine national official social media page on Twitter says, not like us. Not with us. And for those not familiar, this is the diss track from Kendrick Lamar. Obviously criticizing Drake.
Love it.
A lot of folks, has been streamed 500 million times on Spotify. The music video sold up, has been viewed more than 115 million times. Argentina looking to win now. They'll take the winner of Uruguay and Colombia in Sunday's final. Those guys are playing today. But how funny is that? Argentina claps back.
No, it's great. You talk about being, pop culture, being in the moment. Like, they hit that out of the park.
Right. Hey, man, a lot of folks today, and I brought this up real quick while we're talking soccer and trying to win fans over. Jason Longstreet got on the conversation. There's a viral video of one of the Argentine players taking a ridiculous dive and then writhing in pain. He wasn't even touched. Do you think, real quick, hockey, you got six guys on the ice for each team, five skaters and a goal in each team.
Right.
You got four guys on the ice officiating. You got two refs and two linesmen. The NFL, you've got a team of guys. Soccer, you got one man watching the action and two guys on the sideline who are basically just calling out on, you know, offsides or onsides. So a lot of folks are asking me, and I put it out there today, why doesn't FIFA at some point, especially, and now I know they've got the video VAR, video assist, but they don't use it properly. Having two officials, a secondary official, just basically is like common sense to be able to follow all the action and know when somebody's diving and then say, look, that's a nonsense fact. You'll get a yellow card for taking a dive. And let's get on with our lives.
You need more officials on the field, on the pitch. There's no debating it. And Mike, this is not about resources. They have them. They could easily do this. I don't even think this should be a conversation, but for whatever reason, here we are in 2024 still talking about how many guys are on the pitch and officiating these matches.
Hey, man, I brought this up the other day. A lot of folks agree that the All-Star Game, it's time we start a movement to get Major League Baseball players back in their home and away jerseys for the All-Star Game. This is the kaleidoscope of color that guys like you and me grew up with. These Nike uniforms are absolute trash. Further proof Nike has lost all, let's be honest, all, I guess, innovative ideas, unless you thought what you saw last night with the Diamondbacks was special. Those are the worst jerseys I've ever seen. You ever seen those things? They were like a mustard, I don't even know what color yellow that is. Serpientes. Yes. Obviously, I understand you want to reach out to the Latin community for the snakes, the Diamondbacks. Those things look ridiculous.
I told you, I turned it on. I thought I wasn't watching the Braves. At first, I had to do a double take because I was like, I think this is the Braves. And then I'm like, that's the Braves, but who are they playing? Because I did not recognize
it. I mean, it looked like the Padres wore something similar to that in the late 60s, early 70s, but not that bad. Anyway, Braves win. We'll talk more about it with Grant McCauley coming up at the 5. Guy Talk, we're live here at Game Changer, Lake Lanier Islands. We got a dude over here drinking a Cobra. We know that guy.
Yes, we do.
One of our loyal listeners. He's one of our favorite Beaufortians. Come on down, guys. We're going to do round two tomorrow at Pickleball Social over in Beaufort. More competition for the summer games.
Not like us. Not like us. All right, coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. What did DJ say, and was he throwing shade at his former teammate? We'll do the investigating coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Dukes and Bell live at Game Changer.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.